topic is the importance of looking like a Vaishnava and behaving like a Vaishnava. Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, a first-class Vaishnava is he whose very presence makes others chant the holy name of Krishna. The sign of a first-class devotee is that just by seeing him, everyone chants Hare. What is the symptom of a second-class devotee in this regard? The first class is one, just by seeing him, everyone starts chanting the holy name. In this regard, when Mahaprabhu was making this point about different types of Vaishnavas, according to the chanting of the holy name, here the second class is one who always chants the holy name, and the third class is the person who sometimes chants the holy name. So, one who sometimes chants the holy name is the third class devotee. Actually, in 3 years, Mahaprabhu gave these three instructions. Devotees came from Bengal during the Rath Yatra festival in Jagannath Puri. And Mahaprabhu said that those who chant the holy name, they are devotees. Then the second year, the devotees asked him, now what is the sign of a devotee? Mahaprabhu said, those who chant the holy name all the time, they are devotees. And then he is a Madhyamadhikari devotee. And then the third year, the devotees of Bengal, actually it was Shivananda Sen who asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu said that the devotees, just by seeing them, people start to chant the holy name. He's the first class devotee. So, point one about looking like a Vaishnava, there should be no compromise in our Vaishnava appearance. We are representatives of Srila Prabhupada. We should aim to be first class representatives. Actually, when Prabhupada started the movement, Prabhupada was very emphatic about this point, that devotees should dress like a Vaishnava, that is, have shaved head, wear dhoti and kurta, and wear tilak, wear kantimala. So these are the signs, this is a typical Vaishnava dress. And Prabhupada wanted that the devotees should always wear this, especially the full-time devotees, those who are living in the temple. And Prabhupada used to get very annoyed if somebody had his hair grown long. If here in Vrindavan, once Prabhupada chastised one sannyasi, he had only a 1 month growth of hair. And Prabhupada was so annoyed with him. Prabhupada said, this is the seed of your hippie mentality. Long hair. And he said that when I leave this planet, that seed of hippie mentality will fructify. And you can see that so many devotees actually left the movement. So the seed of hippie mentality was there. And so Prabhupada was very, very emphatic about dressing like a Vaishnava. During Prabhupada's time, there was no question of hiding our identity. And we are seeing that in the last few years, when we started to hide our identity, we thought that we were doing it for our preaching. But it actually became adverse, it became negative. While we tried to hide our identity, not only our preaching practically stopped, but many, many devotees actually left the movement. Many devotees became victims of Maya because they were not dressed like a Vaishnava. They were hiding their identity and then they gradually slid down. So it's very important that the devotees devotees present themselves as the representatives of Srila Prabhupada, that is, dressed like a Vaishnava all the time. And recently in France, The book distributors are going out, for the last 2 years, they're going out in shaved head, devotee clothes, and they found that the result is wonderful. Now they don't want to go out in karmic clothes. And they say that the one disadvantage about going out and distributing books in karmic clothes is that a person may buy the book, but then when he starts reading the book, he realizes that this is a Hare Krishna book, and he feels that he has been cheated by the people. The person has been hiding his identity. So actually, in the long run, it doesn't really help our preaching to hide our identity. On the other hand, maybe we'll be distributing less number of books, but the impact of that book distribution is going to be much more than distributing books, many books in numbers. And that reminds me of another incident. I don't exactly remember where it happened. I heard it from someone. A devotee went out distributing books to... he was distributing, so he went to a shop, a grocery shop. And a husband and wife run the shop. And as soon as he went and presented himself that he has come to distribute some religious books and so on and so forth, the shop owner became very annoyed. He said, "No, I'm not interested about your religion," and so on and so forth. Then he said that, "I know there are some real sincere people, those who are practicing some very, very genuine religion. And we got their books, and those books are the real ones." And then he asked his wife, "Isn't it true? That man who came with shaved head and wearing some oriental clothes gave us the books, and they are the real spiritualists, and the books that they are distributing, those are the real religious books." And the devotee felt really small. He was feeling like taking off his wig and say, "I am one of them." But he couldn't do that at that time.
Because he would have lost faith.
Right. That's true.
He
didn't do that. That's right. He didn't feel like doing that. It would have been very embarrassing for him, actually. So we must always remember that we are representing Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada wanted us to dress like this. This is the best way to represent Srila Prabhupada. When Prabhupada went to America, he didn't go wearing a three-piece suit. Prabhupada just went like a perfect Vaishnava. And some of Prabhupada's godfathers even told him that you should have dressed like that, you should dress like a Westerner. Because they themselves when they went to preach in the West, they were dressing like the Westerners. Long coat or three-piece suit and tie and going out to tea parties to try to preach to people. And what did they do? They couldn't make a single Krishna conscious, single devotee in the West. But Prabhupada didn't compromise. Prabhupada said, "No, I am going to represent Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So why should I compromise with their culture, so that I will go and make them accept the Vedic culture?" So that was Srila Prabhupada's mood. And to represent Srila Prabhupada, we also have to develop that mood. We need, point two, we need to be aware of the bona fide standard of appearance, maintain it and preach it. In the age of Kali, deviation very easily becomes the standard. We should be alert to do this. Like we can see in our society, the deviation already started. Somebody thought that in the West, preaching wearing dhoti and kurta is not effective enough, so wear robes. And they're going out wearing robes. And that's actually deviation. And for them, that will become a standard very soon. They wear a hood and a robe, saffron color. I saw them once. I was in Philadelphia. I saw a devotee from that group was walking by dressed like that. And he looked so strange. He didn't look like a devotee. It's a compromise. I mean, why should you compromise? If we are convinced that the product that we are giving is genuine, then why should we compromise? Prabhupada often used to say, a person who sells diamonds, he doesn't compromise. He says, this is my product and this is the price. So if you want to buy it, you have to pay the price. But those who are trying to sell the imitation stuff, they compromise. We are not selling imitation, or we are distributing imitation stuff. So therefore, us, there is no need to compromise. Point three, proper Vaishnava dress helps us maintain proper consciousness regarding our identity and responsibility in service to Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnava. When you dress like a Vaishnava, then you feel like a Vaishnava. We realize that we have to behave like a Vaishnava. But when you hide our identity, then it becomes very... Then we become a big target for Maya, actually. Within the world, no one can see me. I'm one of the crowd. So I can do anything that I like. So, it is very... But if we are dressed like a devotee, then we are always very, very conscious what we are doing, because we know that people are watching us. So it's very important that we dress like a Vaishnava. Point four, if our appearance is Vaishnavic, it is attractive and will facilitate our preaching. The first impression, which is most often formed from visual stimuli, is the most long-lasting. Recently we had a National Council meeting in France, and some devotees made this point that often karmis see us chanting Harinam, and probably they'll see us only for once, for many, many years to come. But that first impression is very, very lasting impression. And they say first impression is the best impression. So not only should we dress like a Vaishnava, but we must be very careful about our dress, that we do not appear to be shabby. Like by looking at a person, how he is dressed, you can figure out from what background he is coming from, what is his consciousness like. It is so often we can see, we can always notice that. But if the karmi especially are very dress conscious, they try to figure everything out from the dress. How expensive your coat, where it has been stitched, what kind of cloth you are wearing. So, these are the most important thing for them. Now, when they see us, and if they see some, first of all, as it is, to them, we are quite funny, we are strange. When they see us, they get completely surprised. Who are these people? And then if they notice that we are not only strangely dressed, but very shabbily dressed, then the impression will not be very good. Like, usually brahmacharis are a little unconcerned about how they dress. The grihasthas are more concerned, but the brahmacharis are not so concerned. So, brahmacharis often become quite shabby, but it's not good. Especially when you go out to meet people, or when you go out to public, like in Harinam and such programs, we must be very nicely dressed. Prabhupada often told us to dress nicely. Prabhupada said that every devotee should dress nicely. At one point of time, Prabhupada even told us to wear silk. He said that devotees should wear silk and they should always wear garlands. So when people see us dressed like that, then immediately their impression will become very, very positive. So especially when you go out in Harinam, and if it's possible, if we have so much flowers, and if we can afford it, then it's better to have garlands, that every devotee wears a garland. And the clothes should be nicely dyed, especially better if it is uniformly dyed. Sometimes there are different varieties of shades in saffron, starting from yellow to maroon. It ranges from yellow to maroon. But especially when you go out in public, it's very important that our dress we are dressed in a rather meticulous way. And on the other hand, we can give the example how devotees often dress. Like, they have two different kinds of socks in 2 feet. Then, sometimes they even wear two different types of shoes. Then, some kurtas are, somebody's kurta is so tight that he can barely move his hands. And sometimes it's so loose that it looks somewhat like a dressing gown. So it shouldn't be like that. We should, devotees' dress should be very, devotees should be very nicely dressed. And while I'm looking at the devotees, I mean, I just looked at Narottamananda Prabhu, and it seemed that, I mean, he looks so, I mean, his dress is so nicely tied, so, and you can immediately see that he looks so effulgent. Of course, he has some natural effulgence and radiance, but it is enhanced by his nice dress. Just by seeing a Vaishnava, the conditioned soul is purified. So, in Haribhakti Vilas, it's mentioned that when somebody sees a Vaishnava with tilak, then he becomes free from his sinful reactions. So it is very important that we always wear tilak. There is sometimes we feel a little self-conscious that, oh, should I wear tilak, what people will think, maybe I better not, I'll be flying in the plane, so there will be so many people around, let me not wear the tilak today. When I reach the temple, then I'll put on the tilak. But actually we have to realize that as it is, we are strange to them. Now, you know, the way we dress, our shaved head. So a little bit of tilak in our forehead will not make us look any more stranger. So, but if we wear tilak, then people become very, people will attain all kinds of agyata sukriti just by seeing the tilak on our forehead. Because the tilak is the Vishnu sthan, Vishnu peak, is the temple of Vishnu. And when they see the temple of Vishnu, they become free from the sinful reaction. And sometimes people are so used to seeing us wearing tilak that if they see us not wearing a tilak, they feel something is wrong with us. I remember when I was going through the immigration in London, the lady, she asked me where I was going to go, and I told her that I was going to go to Lechmore Heath, and I was a Hare Krishna. No, I have a conference and so on and so forth. Then she asked me from which group I was. I said I was a Hare Krishna. And then she said, how come you don't have the mark on your forehead? Actually, it was a long flight, so the tilak got rubbed out. And, you know, so people, there are people, those who will appreciate us when they see us wearing tilak. Okay, so these are the 5 points concerning looking like a Vaishnava. And regarding these 5 points, I will invite questions now. So, Keshi Damana Prabhu.
I like to hear your comments on one thing that sometimes comes up in India.
Yeah.
And that is a reference to a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Sanatana Goswami went to see, I think, Amitabha Pandit with piece of saffron cloth over his head, and there's one verse where it says saffron cloth is not fit for a Vaishnava to wear. But the contradictory argument is that this was prasad from Lord Chaitanya.
That was not prasad from Lord Chaitanya. Actually, the incident was that Sanatana Goswami received this piece of saffron cloth from another sannyasi. So that's why he in his humble mood, he just wore it on his head. And seeing that, Damodar Pandit thought that this piece of cloth that Sanatana Goswami was wearing on the head. Jagannanda Pandit. So he was, it was from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he became ecstatic. But when he got to know that this actually was from some sannyasi, then he started chastising Sanatana Goswami. But how can you wear some other sannyasi's
saffron program is
still on your hair. If Jagadananda Pandit thought this was from Lord Chaitanya, does that mean that Lord Chaitanya was wearing saffron?
Yeah, yeah. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was wearing saffron.
Why is that verse there that it says saffron cloth is not fit for a Vaishnava?
Vaishnava rakta vastra paritana juvai. A Vaishnava shouldn't wear a red cloth. Actually, red and saffron are not exactly the same. Red cloth is worn by the Shaktas. The Shaktas wear red. And so, you know, like to consider that that red, that this is red, this there's a big difference between red and saffron. And actually sometimes the Goswamis or Babaji's here criticize us for wearing saffron. And but the thing is that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur started this custom with an understanding that this white cloth is symbolic to Nirguna platform, right? It's a Paramhamsa's dress,
yeah.
Right? And our predecessors, our previous acharyas, they were the Paramhamsas, the Goswamis of Vrindavan and other Goswamis of Vrindavan. They were wearing white. But we are not qualified to imitate their dress. So we do not try to jump onto that Nirguna platform or Paramhamsa platform. So remaining on the Varnashram platform will render service unto them. So that's why he accepted the saffron. That with the white cloth or the lotus feet of our spiritual masters, we will carry on our head, remaining being situated in the Varnashram platform.
And
the
grihastha
will wear white.
Is it conceivable?
So that is different. Like this, you see, like this Goswami's white and a grihastha's white are not the same. Right? Goswami's white is symbolic to Nirguna platform. That is transcendental to the saffron of a sannyasi. That's why it is so elevated. But that doesn't mean that nobody should be able to wear white. But to be a vairagi, to be a renunciate, and wear white, that was not accepted by Bhaktisiddhanta. Only in some advanced stage, somebody becomes a vivittanandi or bhajanandi. I'm sorry, Bhajanandi. And then he wears white. Purnachandra Prabhu.
The Prabhupada said that the Vaishnava accepts the sannyasa dress out of humility.
Right.
Because he feels that he's completely qualified to take on his Paramahamsa dress.
Right, yeah.
And I had a question.
Not Vaishnava, mainly our line. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur started that.
Now, what are the exceptions? Now that every rule has an exception, so like going to a certain country, they have certain immigration laws, or like in DI.
That's different. That's different
things.
You see, like, if, you know, to enter into some country, you have to dress up in a certain way. That's all right. And that is for preaching. Right? But often, actually, we take the liberty to wear karmic clothes. You know, we use some excuse to wear karmi clothes. That shouldn't be good. Like nowadays, I mean, in the West, so few devotees are wearing devotee clothes. I mean, actually, often you may bump into a devotee and you won't be able to recognize him. Because, I mean, there's no way to recognize. Long hair, suit and tie, no kantimala, no tilak. So how are you going to recognize? And how they're, I mean, at least devotees, when they go out wearing devotee clothes, that itself is preaching. Like few years back, I heard someone commenting that it was a lady, asked how many devotees you have all over the world. And I mentioned about 10,000. She said, 10,000? He said, it seems that you are everywhere. Wherever you go, you are there. Because even if they see one devotee, that devotee stands out so much so that a person remembers. Yes, Rishi Krishna.
Does the color saffron have any significance? I mean, means renunciation or being renounced.
It is a color of renunciation.
But does it? You said Bhakti Siddhanta introduced it.
Exactly. Well, I mean, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. In the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at least in the recent past, devotees were not used to wearing saffron, they used to wear white. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur started, besides Gaudiya Math, you will never see anyone wearing saffron.
Who is saffron?
They are Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And that way they will find, Shankarites and, Vishnu Swami, Madhvacharya, they all wear saffron. But I am talking about Gaudiya Vaishnavas. It's a old tradition. But because it has been instructed that in Kali Yuga, accepting sannyas is forbidden, and because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, so no one felt qualified to wear sannyas. That would have been immediately situation. So with that consideration, devotees were not wearing saffron. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced it.
Was there any to the color, it could have been pink, or it could have been green, or it could have been so many other colors? Why specifically?
Every color has some significance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like red signifies passion. Yellow, goodness. Then blue, ignorance. The same as saffron signifies renunciation. And it has been actually also tested scientifically that a saffron color makes the mind very peaceful. They took some psychiatric tests. Yes, Doug.
Would it be right to presume, what you're saying about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati introducing saffron, that before him that there was no actual Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyasis, that they were like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and sannyasis?
Yeah, there was no Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyasis. Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyasis were the Babaji, the Paramahamsas, the Goswamis of Vrindavan. They are actually the sannyasis.
And that's why they criticize Gaudiya.
That's why they criticize us when they see us wearing saffron.
Because they think it's some imitation of Lord Chaitanya or something.
In one sense, some imitation, and the other say, why are you taking sannyas? Sannyas has been forbidden in the age of Kali.
Also, a lot of people relate to saffron as Mayavadi.
Well, there are two kinds of sannyas, Tridandi and Ekadandi.
Yeah, this I heard, this is really common from the Vrijabhasis, that you dress, why do you dress in saffron like Mayavadi?
Well, does it mean that the Vaishnavas cannot be sannyasis? Isn't there any Vaishnava sannyas? There was a difference between Ekadanda sannyas and Tridanda.
Yes, that's alright, but that's one of the arguments.
They are fools. They do not have any knowledge. And all they know, it takes a fool to criticize the devotee. An intelligent person will not criticize the devotee. A person who has a bright understanding of Mahaprabhu's movement, he will think that we do not understand the activities of the Vaishnava. And the result is there. Krishna consciousness is spreading all over the world. Who is preaching this? Who is spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world? This Babaji of Vrindavan? No, it's devotees of Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Keshidam,
just one follow on point to Vasudev's statement about the Mayavadis. We are looking like Mayavadis. I just like to relate for the devotees that I used to know one Mayavadi sannyasi in Vrindavan. Used to visit the temple, and he said, actually, everywhere I'm going, people are going to me and saying Hare Krishna, because now the Mayavadis is being overpowered by our dressing.
Maharaj, this is in regard to Purushottam's point about Sombramacharya is wearing white, and this is obviously seen in the West especially. I think if that is going to be done, there should be some proper instruction also, because sometimes wearing white is like giving them a license to talk to every girl they see. And that also is not, Prabhupada would never encourage, people going, and just simply talking to different girls, or, and so on and so forth. That is like creating a fifth ashram.
I mean, first of all, wearing white should not give one the license to talk to any and every girl, right? Devotees should be detached from this kind of material consideration.
Because for a grihastha, it's alright, because he also already has a wife.
Even a grihastha shouldn't talk to him.
Right, but
once in Mayapur, some householder couples, during the festival, they were talking, they were sitting together, they were talking, and Prabhupada noticed it from his veranda. Prabhupada was very annoyed. He said, what is this? Why they are associating like this in public? Don't they have any shame? So man should not associate with a woman in public, even if they are legally married. A woman's position is at home and she shouldn't come out in public. Well, I mean, that's the basic Vedic standard. And now, of course, now I don't want to comment on that. Oh, so now we go over to the next point. Behaving like a Vaishnava. Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita Anga Lila, it is a characteristic of a devotee to observe and protect the Vaishnava etiquette. Maintenance of the Vaishnava etiquette is the ornament of a devotee. Point one, the consciousness of a devotee is manifested in his action. Point two, if one has any depth of realization, the jewels of Vaishnava behavior will naturally grace, there are some spelling mistakes, please correct me, grace all of his dealings and activities. As a Vaishnava becomes more and more profound, more and more realized, then his activities, his realization and his profundity becomes manifest or reflected in his activities. I mean, just by seeing one's dealings, one can actually, at least the Vaishnavas can figure out how advanced one is. Point three, we need to be aware that the vast majority of our exchanges are with devotees or the innocent public. Aparad is the only real stumbling block of spiritual life. We must become fearful of committing offenses. This awareness will loan sobriety and gravity in our behavior. We will naturally become humble. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will become pleased and we will make advancement without serious obstruction. Point 4. Srila Prabhupada's reputation depends on our behavior. In his compassion, he lifted us up from very degraded backgrounds. He was criticized by the less intelligent in India for doing so. In order to maintain Srila Prabhupada's good name, our behavior should be very exemplary.
Just on that point, you know, to become fearful of committing offenses, like, I have like a pretty obnoxious character, and just by nature I commit offences and I'm very fearful of that. So how can you become just like, without even thinking about it, you know, say offensive things to devotees or very short temper or something like that?
So the best thing is, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that you beat your mind in the morning with a shoe 100 times. And then you beat your mind 100 times with a broom at night. Right? So in the morning you beat your mind and tell your mind that my mind, you're so obnoxious. You're so offensive to the Vaishnavas. So be careful. Don't become offensive to the Vaishnavas. And at night, before going to bed, you meditate also. How many offenses you have committed? Try to trace them, right? And pray to all the Vaishnavas that you have committed offenses to. And then personally also you do that. Like if you realize that you committed some offense to some Vaishnava, then you go to him and tell him, Prabhu, yesterday I did that to you. You know, I'm such an offensive person, you know, I'm so degraded. You see, like after all, I'm coming from such a low-class background. And so please forgive me. Right? So by doing that, you see, like we'll gradually become free from Vaishnava aparadas. And then on top of that, since you're such a good cook, you can cook to the Vaishnavas and feed them nicely. Satisfy them that way. Our business is to please the devotees. Actually, if we want to make advancement in spiritual life, the only way we can do that is just by pleasing other devotees. So let's do that. And if we have a favorable relationship with other devotees, then naturally the unity will develop in our society. And when we become united, we will create such a tremendous force that Krishna consciousness will take over the whole world in 18 days.
How do we turn that unification of all living as something I've always been?
That is, we have to behave, we have to become Vaishnavas. You see, whenever we conflict, it is due to our Vaishnava nature. Because Vaishnavas will never conflict. If you are a Vaishnava and if I am a Vaishnava, if both of us are trying to serve Srila Prabhupada and spread this movement of Krishna consciousness all over the world, then where is the room for conflict? They immediately will become happy when you meet each other. So we have to give up our false ego, we have to give up our personal motivation, and we have to give up our anartha. Yes, Purusha.
This is not clear, but I thought maybe you can also spend a couple of minutes explaining about the Sikha.
Yeah, we have a couple of minutes.
What is that?
In India, there are two types of spiritualists. One is called Dvaitavadis, the other is Advaitavadis. The basic difference between the basic discrimination is in the Sikha. Like the Dvaitavadis were Sikha, and Advaitavadis have shaved up their whole head. They do not keep Sikha. That is the first consideration. The second consideration is that hair is like antenna. Like if we have long hair, many, you know, like in devoid, you know, like scattered around in different directions, that affects your mind also. Your mind becomes scattered. So that's why Vaishnavas shave off the rest of the hair and keep a shikha just to make his like concentration one point. To project his consciousness into one point, that's Krishna. Right? Whereas the Mayavadis, they take off the shikha also, that is no thought in the mind. But Vaishnavas have only one thought, that's Krishna. Then Prabhupada said that the Sikha is actually Krishna pulls a devotee with by his Sikha at the time of his death. So that Krishna can pull us up, Krishna can grab us by our Sikha and pull us. Which is actually synonymous that when we wear a Sikha, we actually become dependent upon Krishna. And then, at the time of death, we depend upon Krishna, and Krishna pulls us up. Deepak?
Even though we don't have all the Vaishnava's quality, can we call ourselves Vaishnava, or what do
you call it? Yes, we actually, a Vaishnava never calls himself a Vaishnava. He thinks that he could not become a Vaishnava. After all, it's not easy to become a Vaishnava. Vaishnava means a liberated person. Not only a liberated person who is engaged in serving the Lord on the spiritual platform. And as one becomes more and more advanced, he feels more and more unqualified. So at a neophyte stage we may think that yes, I am a Vaishnava. I am the only Vaishnava and everybody else is, I am the only Uttamadhikari and everybody else is Kanishtha Adhikari. Right? But as we become Uttamadhikari, then we feel that only I couldn't become a devotee, but everybody else is so wonderfully engaged in serving Krishna. Yes, Keshav.
I just want to make a point returning to an earlier point that Prabhupada is such a Mahabhagavat, such a first class devotee, that even his representatives, though they may be on a lesser platform, they carry this potency to such an extent that when people see them, they all know
yeah,
very,
that's
very
true.
Well.
That's true.
So they have the potency almost right. of a first-class devotee.
Yeah.
This is the potency of Prabhupada.
And that is the, yes, that's the potency of Srila Prabhupada, and that is the advantage of becoming a medium. You see, when you become connected to the powerhouse, and if you're a good conductor of electricity, then the current will flow and perform many, many wonderful functions. So the same way, we simply have to become that via medium to Srila Prabhupada. If Prabhupada's potency flows through us, then we'll also be able to perform wonderful activities.
It's like we sometimes take a group of bhaktas out doing Harinam, but everyone sees and they all say, oh, Hare Krishna.
Right. Yeah.
So they all chant just by seeing.
That's true. Yeah. Any more questions? I'll take the last question. It's already here.
The secret, there was one boy in the ashram who Sikh had never been cut since he was born. His father is a huge kind of Sikh, like a Jata, you know. So he has this thing about Sikhs. And the Mataji cut a Sikh, so when he found out about this, he became very angry. He changed from our ashram anyway, but some other Mataji cut it. But I said, I have to sympathize with our feed grenade in our ashram. I also did cut a Sikh, you know, to make a very different uses. I said, what's the big deal anyway? And he started explaining from Vishnu Purana that there's all sorts of like, rules here, and that it's like getting into a whole thing. Like, you cut the potency and the Sikh should never be cut. And he started all these different quotes from different scriptures.
I don't making too much,
relevant.
Too much, because ultimately, where does our real potency lie? Where does our real advancement lie? It's in our consciousness. A seeker or no seeker, it doesn't really matter. Like, I mean, after all, he has the seeker. Now, if somebody cut off the seeker, then he may have got angry. But then again, you know, it will grow. Even if somebody cuts him off, that's it. This is called excessive endeavor. I am quoting from different scriptures. Chant Hare Krishna and everything is there. You do not have to separately endeavor for any purpose. So I will stop now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Prabhupada. All glories to Gaudiya.